Merry Christmas! Thanks for joining us tonight. This is a wonderful service. We enjoy this one so much. In a little while, we'll do some more songs with candle lighting, but thank you for being here. If I haven't met you, I'm Pastor Ryan. I want to welcome lots of guests, friends, and families, and grandmas, and grandpas, and cousins, and so thank you for being here. Thank you for being here at home. Even a special welcome to Randy and Debbie. That was for Jenny. Good to have you guys from Idaho. Yes, so there's people joining us from around, so thank you. And it's a great night, and I bet some of you kids are also thinking about some other activities that are coming. Any kids kind of excited about Christmas presents? No, this is a strange group. Okay, I'm surprised by that. Some great presents. What could be some great presents this year? Anybody voting? Oh, yeah, right here. iPhone 17? No. Say it loud. A hair straightener. That would be a good one in there. And who's going for the... yeah, John also wants one. Say it loud back there, Bjorn. I couldn't hear it. A VR. I've seen a lot of videos with people with VR masks running into their TVs, but... could be the Switch 2. Could that be in there? The PS5. That would be nice. Yeah, say it. Six Bibles. The Gian family. Jesus is Lord. The Gian. I love it. Bibles. American Girl doll still a thing? Is that still a thing? No. Okay, I got some big, like, you're old and out of it. Okay, we won't talk about that. Could be maybe some Beats headphones. There's some pretty nice gifts out there. Yeah, say them loud. Ice skates. Wow, that would be something. Ice skates. All right, there could be all kinds of things. 20 iPhone 17s. Now we're starting a business. We're starting a business over there. Okay. All right. Well, tonight I want to talk about a gift that does not fit in a box. Right? Something better than anything that you could unwrap, anything that comes from a store, anything on your Christmas list. I want to talk about something that is a gift we all need. It is the gift of forgiveness. I want to talk about the gift of forgiveness tonight. And that's not often what we think about when we think about the Christmas story, but I want to show you the power of forgiveness, the true gift of forgiveness that comes with Christmas, and then talk about how it is actually the gift that keeps on giving. Not the jelly of the month club. Forgiveness is the gift that keeps on giving. Forgiveness is the gift that keeps on giving. So let us look at that briefly here tonight, and I'll show you it. We're going to look at Matthew's account of the Christmas story, the announcement of this child to come, and we'll see a little detail in there that points to forgiveness, and we'll talk about that tonight. So in Matthew chapter 1, Matthew's one of the followers of Jesus who wrote this account. He says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet: 'Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." So we see that Jesus is the Son of God, placed in Mary by the Holy Spirit, But his name, Jesus, or the Hebrew name Yeshua, means the Lord is salvation. So what was told to him was this line here: you'll call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That was his mission, that was his purpose, that's what he came to accomplish, is salvation, and salvation specifically from sins. And so that's where we start this story, is our need for forgiveness. Romans tells us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. This is all humanity. We, in our human state, are fallen. We fall short of God's glory. Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man. This looks all the way back in time to our first parents, Adam and Eve, that they chose to rebel and sin, and so sin entered the world, and death through sin. Sin brings death. Both the fact that we physically die and we spiritually die. We become separated from God. So then it says, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. We've all participated in it, we've inherited it, and we follow in it, and so we are destined for death. We will physically die, and without Christ, we spiritually die. We are separated from him for eternity. But that was the whole Christmas story, why Jesus came to save us from our sins. And how did he do that? He actually absorbed our sin and took it to the cross. It says, for our sake, yours and mine, for our sake, he made him, this is Jesus, to be sin who knew no sin. He had never sinned, never, he was tempted in every way, was without sin, but he says, the Lord put our sin on him so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's the Christmas story. That's why it's good news and why we're celebrating, is that he came to take our sin, to pay the price, and the Lord Jesus did that, living a perfect life and dying on a cross. Now look here, it talks about this idea of being forgiven. Colossians 2:13 says, "And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. By canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, this he set aside, nailing it to the cross." Jesus takes our debts, our sins, to the cross and pays the price for them. All of them. All of them. So there's a couple words in the New Testament of our Bible that we translate as forgiveness. The Bible, the original of the New Testament, was written in Greek. And so the English translators of it, there's two different original Greek words that we translate forgiveness. One of them is this word here. It means to give graciously. It's actually the same root word where we get the word grace, kindness, favor. And so the forgiveness is extended as an act of kindness. It's forgiving as a gift. So when the Lord Jesus forgives us, it's not because we're owed it. It's a gift that he gives to us when we turn to him. So that's one word for forgiveness. The other word is the word that means to release from legal or moral obligation or consequence, to let go, to cancel, to release. Some of you would love a present that you open it up and says, we've released you from your car loan. Yeah, any parents are like, now we're talking about Christmas here, right? We've released you from your mortgage. Wouldn't that be nice? Maybe they call and they say, we've released you. You have a whole series of legal fines. They're gone. We've released you. You're not going to owe us anymore. That's the other part of forgiveness. So the two New Testament words is that we're forgiven, we're pardoned by the grace of God, and we're released from what the debt of sin that we owe him. So Jesus Christ, he forgives us when we turn and believe in him. Now that's a real gift of freedom. Anything we've done over our life, any sin we've committed, any sin we've thought, any sin we've acted upon, any wrongdoing, when you turn to Christ, he forgives that, wipes it away, pays the price. That is a gift. That what a gift of freedom to say, I, before God, can be clean. When you trust Jesus, say, I trust you, what you did on the cross, you forgive my sins, he does. He graciously gives you forgiveness, and he sets you free. He releases you from the payment. That's freedom. But that's just the first step, right? I want to show us today that forgiveness is the gift that keeps on giving. And the second part might actually be the harder part. The receiving the forgiveness of God is a beautiful step. If you're a follower of Christ, you've received that. But then there's another step that we not only receive it, we need to extend it. Jesus, once he taught his disciples to pray. Some of you will recognize this as a famous prayer. It's called the Lord's Prayer. And he teaches several steps to praying. He says, pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And then right here, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In the middle of the Lord's Prayer, there is this statement that we're asking that you'd forgive us as we forgive. And here, this word for forgive is the release word. Release us from the debts we owe. Release us from the trespasses as we have also released. So then we see this other piece of forgiveness. It's not just between God and us. It extends to others. So we're told to do that. And then in Ephesians, we're told the same thing. Paul's talking about if you're a follower of Jesus, this is how we live. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. That's the other forgive word. This is the one that's rooted in graciousness. So we're told there in the Lord's Prayer to release, to set free, to not hold it against people who have sinned against us, and also to graciously give forgiveness the same way that Jesus Christ forgives you. We're called to forgive, to release. We're called to do that. We're called to forgive as we have been forgiven. Now, why is this so important? Why is it so important that we talk about it as the great gift that you could open this Christmas? Why is forgiving as you've been forgiven so important? It says it here in Ephesians 4. It says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. The Bible's very realistic. It says be angry right there. Now some of you go, yep, I memorized it. The Bible says be angry. I'm going to throw a fit on the way home in the car, right? It's not talking about that. It's saying be angry, meaning you are going to absorb hurts in life. You're going to be wrong. There's things that happen to you that should make you angry. Anger is an emotion, right? You should respond when someone lies against you, hurts you, betrays you, harms you, does something against you. You should be angry, right? That should cause that reaction. But then it's what you do with it. He says, you feel the emotion, but don't sin, and don't let the sun go down on your anger, meaning don't keep it. Don't take it with you. Don't hold on to it. Don't have unresolved anger, bitterness. It says, and give no opportunity to the devil. We live in a spiritual world with a physical reality and a spiritual reality, and there is God and his kingdom, and there is the deceiver, the adversary, Satan. And he is looking for an opportunity to mess in your life. That word opportunity means a place, a room, a territory. He is looking for that. So I've got a little diagram here. This is just some people, right? Imagine you're one of those people. Put the right features in for you. And you're going along in life, and you begin to absorb some hurts, some frustrations. And so we're told the devil prowls around like a roaring lion. So I just made him a helicopter, okay? An angry helicopter, okay? Circling, circling. looking for where he's going to touch down, okay? Where is he going to touch down? What allows the evil one to cause problem in your life? And I'm not talking about being demon-possessed. I'm not talking about some crazy horror movie. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about him to have a place in your life, a room in your life to cause problems. It's when we have unresolved anger, unresolved bitterness. It puts out a great big helipad landing pad. Here's a place I can touch down. Here's a place I can begin to work in someone's life when they have anger. And then he's right there. Yeah, you were wronged. That was bad. You should hold it against him. You should seek revenge. He's right there to nurse the wound. Or he has all kinds of awful tactics. You could be terribly wronged, and the result is he's in your ear saying, that's because you are bad and you are worthless. And the things people did to you is because you deserved it. So he's speaking lies of shame over your life or lies of fear. You can't trust anybody. You can't go out there. You can't be vulnerable. You can't live life. And so sometimes his entry into your life, he takes the hurts you've absorbed, turns them into intense fear. Or the hurts you've absorbed, and you say, that's so painful, he begins to sow in coping mechanisms. And this is where all kinds of addictions and self-soothing comes in. It's just not fair. You will absorb hurts. And some of you have absorbed intense, deep hurts. Some of them, they're little hurts. They're little bruises. They're little attacks. Some of them are deep abuses and betrayals. And it's terrible that it happened. And then it's also doubly terrible that the enemy lands. You're like, well, this wrong thing happened to me. How am I supposed to feel? And we hold these resentments, and it's not fair. And he's saying, yeah, you're already down. You're already weak, and he doesn't play fair. He's the liar and the father of lies. He's seeking someone to devour. He does not want you to have freedom. He does not want you to have life. He wants you to be stuck in anger and fear and bitterness and addiction, whatever it is. And it's really doubly unfair. It's doubly unfair that you experience hurt and pain in life. And then it's that creates an entry point for the enemy. It really is doubly unfair that not only have you experienced it, but now the evil one can enter and make it worse. And so the way out is to forgive. That is actually the way out. That is the way you give him an eviction notice. You're not staying rent-free in my life anymore. You forgive. You release. You say, I'm not going to hold that anymore. This is when I'm talking about forgiveness, I'm not talking about reconciliation. I'm not talking about going to a person. I'm not talking about confrontation. I'm talking about you with God saying, I'm going to choose to forgive. I'm going to choose to release this hurt that has happened in my life. And that actually begins to create a pathway for healing and freedom. Now, this seems so nice, but there's all kinds of objections to this. They just get away with it. Someone's hurt me. Someone's hurt you in your life, maybe in deep ways, and it feels like they just get away with it. I just forgive, and they just get away with it. Well, you holding it isn't punishing them. It's punishing you. Likely, some of the people that hurt you don't know that they did. Some of the people that hurt you are no longer living or no longer near you. This has nothing to do with somebody getting away with it. Unless each person comes to Christ and is forgiven for what they've done, they will stand and give an answer to the Lord. Nobody gets away with anything. It's to the Lord we all will stand. But you forgiving is not saying somebody got away with it. You forgiving is saying, I'm just not going to carry it anymore. I'm not going to let it continue to hurt me. I'm not going to let it continue to harm me. I already had the event that harmed me, but holding it means it's continuing to harm me. So it's not about getting away with anything. The Lord will deal with it. In some cases, the law deals with it. But you forgiving is about you freeing your own heart and removing sources of spiritual conflict. And the only way we do it is with eyes on Jesus. I want you to look what was happening when Jesus was being crucified, though perfectly innocent. It says, and when they came to the place that is called the skull, there they crucified him. Right? They nailed him to a piece of wood like meat, right? They nailed him up there. And the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And what does he say? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Right? Jesus is being wrong. He's being hung on a cross. He's willingly doing it. And the people carrying it out, he says, forgive them. He's not even going to hold that against them. They don't even know what they're doing. Right? Jesus, he paid the price to free you. He went on that cross to pay for your sins, the ones you've committed, the ones you've thought, the things you've omitted, all of that. He set you free. Right? Forgiveness means that you're going to pay the price for the sins of another. For Jesus to forgive you, he paid the price. For you to forgive somebody, it means you're going to say, you know what? I've paid the price. I've suffered that. I've carried that. I absorbed that wrong, but I'm not going to keep paying it. I'm done, right? I'm going to let that go. Yes, it happened. You have paid a price for what someone else did. And so to forgive means you're going to just say, yep, that's what happened. That's hard. But when you forgive, you don't keep paying the price. You don't continue to hold it. You don't continue to allow the evil one to be in your ear. You say, you're out. I'm done with you. I'm turning that over to the Lord Jesus. It brings an end to it. So how do you do it? How would you forgive? Well, it's not pretending that bad things didn't happen. It's not pretending that it didn't hurt you. In fact, it's actually getting really clear before God about the things that hurt you. This happened to me, and this is how it felt, and this is what it's done, and this is how wrong it is. This is you talking to God. This is you journaling. It's saying, this is what happened. It's not pretending. It's being very clear. And a lot of times, the end of that list is in, where were you, God? And you take that right to him. It felt like you didn't protect me. You take all that to the Lord. Then you focus on your own forgiveness. The Lord Jesus Christ paid for your sin. Because we've hurt people. And we've been in rebellion. And he took it all. So with your eyes on the Lord Jesus, trusting in him, you choose to forgive. This is not to a person. This is before the Lord. I release this to you. I do not want to carry this anymore. I want to be free. That's why forgiveness is the gift that keeps on giving. If you are stuck, if you're stuck in bitterness, if you're stuck in bondage, if you're stuck in darkness, likely one of the deep roots of it might be unforgiveness. And tonight I'm hoping you will consider that the Lord Jesus Christ can help unlock that in your life. I have these little cards by the door. They're on the table there. They're on the back tables there. They're by the back doors. They look like a present on this side. And on the back side, there's just a little teeny, some notes there about how you might go through the process of forgiveness. And I'm hoping this week you might pull that out and sit in a quiet place. Some of you might go, I don't really have anybody to forgive. I bet if you paused and prayed, said, Lord, do I have anybody I need to forgive? You'd be amazed what names come to mind. You'd be, oh, that one guy in high school, man, he was a jerk. Oh, I need to forgive him. I'm carrying that. It may be deep, deep things that you know immediately. It may be that something you're going to need help with. You may need to reach out. Reach out to me. Reach out to a Christian counselor. Say, I need to do it, but I need to do it with somebody. This is deep. But you're going to pray. There's a prayer on here that you can pray. There's a process on here. You just take that with you and say, I do not want to carry the hurts of the past anymore. I do not want the enemy to have access to my life anymore. I want to walk in freedom, both the freedom of being forgiven and extending forgiveness. And so I invite you to open that gift, the gift of forgiveness from the Lord Jesus. Watch the change he will make in your life when we release. When we release. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you have forgiven us. I pray for any of this room who are needing forgiveness. If you're someone here and you want to ask the Lord Jesus to forgive you, you could pray a prayer like this. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Will you forgive me? I trust that you died on the cross for my sins. Please forgive me. If you're praying that prayer, I want you to know he forgives you. He says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Lord, I pray all of us in here have people that have hurt us recently, a long time ago. And as we carry those hurts, we give a landing pad for the evil one. We do not want him having any more influence, Lord. I pray for breakthrough on each one here, that they would take time to grant forgiveness as we have been forgiven and find a new level of freedom, a new level of healing. Lord, we're asking for you to do it. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.